Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
I bring before your attention a portion of the optional bit of the lesson. Let your loins be girded and the lamps be burning, and be ye like people awaiting their master when he departs from the wedding banquet, in order that when he comes and knocks, they immediately open for him. Blessed those slaves whom their master shall come and find on the alert. Truly I tell you that he will gird himself and make them to recline at table, and he shall come and minister unto them. Even if he come in the second and in the third watch and find it so, blessed are those people. As an avid aficionado of ancient and biblical slavery, I love poking my nose into such passages as the one just read for you here, which is the optional portion of last Sunday's gospel appointed for Pentecost 12, Series C. It's a parable the Luke and Jesus tells, but it contains certain features undeniably connecting it to master-slave relations in Greco-Roman antiquity. It's nighttime and the lamps are ablaze. Luke's Jesus tells the listeners that they are to gird up their loins and be like those persons who are awaiting their master who has just departed from a wedding banquet. These are the stay-at-home slaves who apparently are not on carouse with their master at the wedding party, but stuck at home in readiness for his arrival. Other parables come to mind here, such as that one in Matthew 25 of the wise and foolish maidens who likewise are awaiting the bridegroom at midnight and trimming their lamps in anticipation. But the Lucan version of the story, if indeed the two stories are at all related, which is endlessly debated by critics, is more stark and so less well known. The Lucan slaves open for him at once, the text says, when he comes and knocks. Then the passage says, in a manner characteristic of Luke, blessed are those slaves whom their master shall come and find on the alert. They have met with the master's approval, and this makes all the difference, as we shall see. We are in Pentecost 12, Series C, and already permitted a glimpse of the eschaton, which always is how the season of Pentecost ends, come to think of it. It doesn't require too much imagination to see that the master in the parable is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who will return in glory to judge the living and the dead, as we confess in the Nicene Creed. Thus, watchfulness for the coming of the Son of Man is the theme of at least this portion of the sermon text. The watchful slaves keeping their lamps lit and ready for the Master's return are, of course, us and every attentive Christian. The verb translated to be on the alert, gregorao, means to stay awake, to be watchful, according to bedeg, the first meaning, though an alternative meaning could be to be in constant readiness. This snippet ends with the observation that even if the master should come in the second or third watch and find them so doing, blessed are those ones, the passage states. It's a strong statement, considering that the word for blessed here, makarioi, is most often used of the denizens of heaven, those who have made it, I could say. Actually, makarioi is used twice identically in the passage, once of those blessed persons whom the master shall come and find so doing, namely keeping the vigil without drifting off to sleep or slothfulness, and secondly, of the slaves who are so doing. That's right, slaves are accounted blessed. It goes without saying that such Bible speak does not think and reason the way typical Americans do, always so enamored of their personal rights and freedoms. Obviously, this is just one of many passages in the Bible where faithful Christian hearers are expected to take the part of slaves to God the Father primarily and to one another secondarily. But let's not float off in that direction now. For our little parable of today has a considerable contribution to make as to why these slaves, or these Christians, if you prefer, are blessed. And that is on account of a detail that appears in verse 37. Blessed those slaves whom the master shall come and find alert. Truly I tell you that he shall gird himself and make them to recline at table, and he shall come and minister unto them. Such uncharacteristic behavior. One would expect in this situation that the master, out late at the wedding banquet, would rely upon his servile retinue to get him ready for bed, to retire for the night, which is what the carouse normally requires. But not here. It's as if this strange master extends the wedding banquet where he has been to his slaves, to the setting of their expectant abode. Notice, the first thing he does is gird himself for work and recline the slaves to table. That is, they take up the posture of banqueters. Then he comes and ministers unto them. These particular details are related only here so far as I can see. The verb recline, anaklino, to be sure, occurs elsewhere in Luke's gospel of Mary putting her infant son Jesus to bed in the manger, Luke 2 verse 7, though this does not seem particularly parallel. More promising in that regard is Luke 13, 29, of the messianic banqueters from east and west and from south and north who shall recline on a face untie in the kingdom of God. Might this curious banquet scene where the master reclines the slaves to table and ministers unto them in the middle of the night, in the second or even the third watch, as the text says, really be intended to get us to think about the Lord's Supper? I know it sounds far-fetched, and some of us Lutheran exegetes have been accused, and rightly so, of finding word and sacrament under every conceivable stone in the Bible. But perhaps there is some justification for the Eucharistic interpretation after all. In Luke's gospel, diakoneo is used of Peter's mother-in-law, whom Jesus has healed, who immediately gets up and ministers unto them, Luke 4:39. Of the female followers of Jesus who minister unto Jesus and his band from out of their own means, Luke 8, verse 3. In Martha's reproach of Mary, who left her sister alone in service, Luke 10, verse 40. None of these seem too promising, I admit. But then, toward the end of the gospel, where Jesus asks pointedly, who is greater, he who reclines at table, ha anakemenos, or he who serves, ha diakonon, Luke 22:26. Clearly the answer is the one who reclines at table, i.e. anyone dining at the master's table. But what clinches the matter exegetically is Jesus' final statement that he is in the midst of you, the disciples are meant, as one who serves. Ego en meso humon emi hos ha diakonon, Luke 22:26. I submit then that such language is redolent of the Lord's Supper. Jesus is present in our midst, in bread and wine, as one who serves, i.e. serves his slaves, us believing Christians, with his body and blood in the forgiveness of sins. Such language is part and parcel of the Eucharistic language of Luke's gospel itself. Indeed, the institution of the Lord's Supper in Luke has occurred earlier in chapter 22, verses 14 to 23 to be exact. Now, I don't mean to ruffle any feathers here, but I think it requires a strong skepticism bordering on unbelief not to see the Holy Lord's Supper at least hinted at in the passages of Luke's gospel we have had the privilege of reviewing today. So if the master comes to his slaves in the middle of the night, girds himself, causes them to recline at table, and ministers unto them, why, this strange behavior, as uncharacteristic as it is precisely descriptive of the way the Lord Jesus Christ ministers to us in his holy word and sacrament. That's what I'm saying. He is present here in the preaching office in our case today of chiding disciples far and near, not to be without faith as they consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. Indeed, which of you by worrying can add a single cubit to his height, Jesus asks, with the merest twinkle in his eye, which, if you think about it, would make all but the shortest of you quite a bit taller than me. A quite dramatic growth spurt after all. But that is how Jesus' outlandish preaching works. It provokes a reaction, stimulates repentance, directs hearers to the gospel, hear of the good news that Jesus' followers, all of them, are of far more worth than the birds of the air. O ye of little faith, Jesus chides. But his is a chiding that simultaneously brings about repentance and faith in God's promises. Today he promises that he will in fact feed and clothe his Christians even more lavishly than he does the minuscule birds and lazy lilies who refuse to toil and spin, yet they rival Solomon in all his glory. So, we are all the Lord's slaves in readiness today, and Jesus comes in service through his preaching, the divine service, and the Holy Lord's Supper. Of course, we are to be vigilant as at the ready for him who comes in the second watch or in the third. But then he more than surprises us, girding himself, ushering us to table, ministering to us in his body and blood, which imparts the forgiveness of sins bodily. And this treasure is before us now. Blessed those slaves whom the master shall come and find so doing. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.